My name, for those of you who might not know me, is Chad Wilkin, and my wife and I are the directors of Baptist Collegiate Ministry, serving the universities here in Terre Haute, and we are a proud missions-supported partner with FBN. So it's really good. I'm very thankful to Brett and Adam and Brandon and everyone else for inviting me to come and share a message with you on this first Sunday of 2021. Who's glad that it's no longer 2020? Yeah, a few of you? Okay, good. Well, I want to invite Briar Nevins to come up and read our scripture this morning as we begin.
Good morning. Is this on? Cool. All right. Now we have the treasure in clay jars so that this extraordinary power may be from God and not from us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not abandoned. We are struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry the death of Jesus in our body, so that the life of Jesus may also be displayed in our body. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that Jesus' life may also be displayed in our mortal flesh. So then death is at work in us, but life in you.
Amen. Thank you, Briar. Well, it's really good to be here with you on this first Sunday of a new year. Typically, the first Sunday of the year is a time when you might be challenged to think about how you're going to live on mission, maybe consider what changes you might need to make personally, or to think about the vision of the church for the coming year. But as we all know by now, our best laid plans can be wildly disrupted. And so instead of thinking about what radical changes we might need to make this year, I thought it might be worthwhile to think about something that doesn't change no matter what the circumstances may be. Some things that are true, trustworthy, and dependable, no matter what might come our way in 2021. I'm sure most of you probably wouldn't remember this, but the last time that I had an opportunity to stand here in this spot and preach God's word was the very last Sunday of 2019. I preached a message in a series on the full armor of God, and was looking at the helmet of faith and the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation. I actually looked back this week at that message to see what it was I shared, and I found I might have said something slightly prophetic. I encourage you to think about the idea or consider the idea that when the enemy bombards us with those fiery darts, that many times our faith is strengthened because we have to lean on each other. Any fiery darts in 2020? And I also encourage you to think about how isolation and loneliness can have a severely negative impact on your faith. And that as a body, the most important thing that we need to do is look out for one another and find ways to strengthen one another's faith. Well, I think 2020 might have really put that to the test. And my prayer this morning is that your faith is stronger today than it was a year ago, and that through the crazy year that we had, that you found a way to look out for others and strengthen their faith as well. So I'm slightly afraid of what to share this morning, but we're going to go for it anyway. I think the best thing we can do this morning is just to take a look at reality and remind ourselves of just a few core, sort of unshakable truths. And the passage I'm turning to, you just heard read, is 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You just heard the entire passage read. I just want to read verse 7 again and say a prayer covering our time together this morning. The verse 7 says, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us." Let's pray. Father, as we just enter into this time together, God, I'm so thankful for an opportunity to worship you in person this morning, to be gathered with your body. God, right here in this place, I'm thankful for FBN. I'm thankful for many, many friends that we have here in this church. And God, just looking forward to what you would speak to us this morning through your word. God, I pray that you would speak through me, that you would use me in a mighty way this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Anyone ever amazed at how miraculously relevant God's word is to the world that we live in today? Is it just me? Like, that passage, or this passage we're looking at this morning, it sounds like it could have been written last year. How many of you felt afflicted? Maybe perplexed, even crushed, maybe struck down, possibly persecuted in the last 12 months. You know, I hope you also experienced the but nots in this verse as well. But not crushed, but not driven to despair, but not forsaken, but not destroyed. You know, 2020 revealed, I think, numerous ways in which there are so many people in our world who do not share our hope. People were crushed through what happened this last year. People were driven to despair. Many were left feeling forsaken and destroyed. And out of that, I think so many negative things happened. But I believe there are many applications for us in this passage as we think about how we should approach the coming year as followers of Jesus. And the first thing I want to point out to you is what I want you to walk away with this morning. Our mission is to share the treasure. That's it. Our mission is to share the treasure. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. So which treasure are we talking about? What's the treasure? Well, it should be pretty obvious. The treasure is the gospel. Our greatest treasure is the good news that Jesus died in our place to take on himself the penalty for our sin, for us, and for all humanity. We're the jars of clay. You see that contrast that Paul's drawing here? It's so that we don't get it mixed up. Jesus is the treasure. We are just the vessels. We're the containers. Not only are we're just the carrying case, we're inexpensive and easily broken. You know, I don't think Paul's trying to make us think we're worthless. In fact, he points out elsewhere, we are co-heirs with Jesus. We're the sons and daughters of God, and we are bought at a great price. So why then does he use this image of an inexpensive, easily broken clay jar? I think most of us instinctively get that. It just sort of makes sense, right? I think there are a couple reasons he uses this imagery. First of all, he understands human nature. And he knows as sinful, fallen human beings, we're more than prone to thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought to. And we need to be reminded often, it's not about us. And secondly, he wants to help us grasp the magnificent value of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. The big deal is not you. It's Jesus. So the verse says, we have this treasure in clay jars to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. Most of you probably know that our ministry with Baptist Collegiate Ministry is ministry to college students. And our objective, our mission is to reach the campus with the gospel. It's really to help college students discover how to live on mission, how to live their lives on mission for Jesus. And in order to do this, we really focus on three core areas: evangelism, discipleship, and missions. EDM, if you want to shorten it. And I'm guessing that doesn't sound like we've stumbled onto something new. Like we've discovered the secret recipe for developing young Christian leaders. It's not a secret, right? These are the core elements of our faith. This is the way that we share and help people develop in their faith as disciples of Jesus. And yet, for some of our students, this mindset of living on mission, sharing your faith, leading others to Jesus, serving, leading discipleship groups or Bible studies, giving your time and your energy to grow in your faith is sort of a revolutionary concept. And I can't tell you how many conversations we've had in just a few years that we've been doing college ministry where a student has reflected that they were never really before challenged to live this way for Jesus before they came to BCM. We've had countless students tell us they never shared the gospel or knew how, or even maybe that they even needed to be able to do that until we taught them and told them. They've told us that they never really grasped how the Great Commission was something that they were personally responsible for as followers of Christ. I don't know about you, but that sounds wrong to me. It doesn't sound like that should be the case. If you look at the second half of that verse there, where Paul says, to show the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us, he's reminding his audience of two things. It's not about you, it's about God. And that as vessels, we aren't meant to keep the treasure for ourselves. We aren't clay pots with lids on them. We're not Tupperware or glass container. Everybody's moving to glass containers now. I don't quite understand that, but that's not what we're meant to be, right? We're meant to be much more like a pitcher. Not to hoard the treasure for ourselves and keep it hidden. It's a pitcher is filled and continually pouring out into the lives of others, that the treasure that we have is meant to be shared. I think it becomes very clear through the rest of the passage, and Paul points to the relevance here by saying that, or pointing out that evidently life is not, as a follower of Jesus, always sunshine and rainbows. The Christian life is not going to be easy. How do we know that? Well, look at the words that he uses here. Afflicted. Other translations say hard-pressed or troubled or pressured in every way. In how many ways? Every way. Every way. But, he says, we're not crushed. Or another word that is translated there is distressed. We're not distressed by all that. But let me stop there a second, because I think too often we just read right past what Paul's pointing out to us here. Is he saying that it's impossible for us to be crushed when we're afflicted in every way? Well, if you look at Paul's personal experience, actually later in chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians, Paul gives us this list. And when you read this list, you kind of think, man, if a guy was ever perplexed, afflicted, and potentially crushed, it was Paul. He says, 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews 40 lashes, less one. That seems bad enough. But then he goes on, right? 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. And then he goes on, right? The list doesn't get better from there. Man, if anyone had ever experienced being afflicted, being hard-pressed, being crushed, literally crushed for the sake of the gospel, it was the Apostle Paul. And through it all, he was still alive. He was still fighting the good fight. None of that drove him out of ministry or out of the battle that he was in to make the gospel known, to push this treasure out into the hands of everyone that he met. And I think what we struggle with is the difference between feeling and being. If we're honest, I think a lot of us are pretty soft. We haven't really experienced much affliction or persecution, and nothing like what Paul went through. Now, don't get me wrong. Some of you have, and I'm not diminishing your experience or your heartache or your pain. I just want us to get the point here. How we feel is not really what matters. We can feel crushed, afflicted, driven to despair, but we never are. Paul wants us to know without a doubt or equivocation that Jesus is always with us. So we're never fully crushed. We're never left alone in our despair. He has promised we will never be forsaken. One Bible commentary I looked at describes the language that Paul uses here this way, that each metaphor may reflect a gladiatorial or military combat. That Paul was hard-pressed on every side, but not completely cornered and never driven to surrender. That he was at a loss, but never totally at a loss. There's an attempt there to kind of get this Greek wordplay that's going on with those words. They're perplexed and despair. He may have been hounded by the foe, but he was not left to his mercy. He was knocked to the ground, but not permanently grounded. Paul's reminding us, like, No matter how bad it gets, you are a vessel containing a treasure. And he's speaking hopefully, saying, yeah, it's bad, but don't give in. Don't give up. You might still struggle with feelings of hopelessness, abandonment, despair, but don't lose hope, because no matter how bad you feel, your true identity isn't based on your feelings. I think if 2020 should have taught us anything, it's that following Jesus doesn't automatically mean that we'll never feel crushed, that we might not even give in to despair at times or believe that we've been abandoned or possibly even destroyed. But if we could have a conversation with Paul about the year that we've been through, I think he would remind us of just these things. He would want us to take our eyes off ourselves and our problems and realize what is important, what is unchanging, what is true no matter what. And that's the mission that we've been given, the Great Commission, to make Jesus known. That never changes. I think he would probably remind us of what he said in Romans 5, 2 through 5. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character. Character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. Maybe you lost someone this past year. Maybe you lost your job, or something else truly difficult, truly hard afflicted you, and you're grieving. I understand grief and loss can have a profound effect on us, and it could take years to process through, and I would never want to minimize anyone's struggle, but I think we need to be reminded as followers of Jesus, some other words from Paul from 1 Thessalonians 4:13, where it says, we do not grieve as others who do not have hope. We have a hope. We have a hope in Jesus. We need to never lose sight of our truest reality, that no matter how bad our pain, despair, or depression are at any given moment, our true reality is what Paul is saying to us here, that we are earthen vessels, we're clay jars, but more importantly, we contain promises and light and a treasure that cannot be contained. This makes me think about this. Our world likes to tell us things at times that I don't think that we necessarily need to listen to. How many of you are completely sick of the phrase, the new normal? Anybody? Thank you. I'm about ready to punch the next person who says that to me. I am not willing to accept our current reality as normal. Our current reality might be living in a pandemic. But I'm convinced that when we hear someone say the new normal, they are giving up on some things that I don't think we should ever give up on. You can disagree with me if you want. This is not normal. Look at this room. Sitting spread out and away from each other and all wearing masks. That's not normal. Never in my lifetime, maybe a few of you are older than me, in your lifetime, this has never been the case. And I get it, we're being safe, and that makes sense, but if at some point we can't get back to gathering in person as a church body, then I don't want that kind of new normal. That's nothing I want. And while we're here, let me kind of attack a few other ideas that are accepted as normal and tell you why I don't accept them either. Way back before this pandemic began, what seems like a decade ago, in 2019, church growth experts were noting these trends, and you can take or leave the statistics, evidence of my own personal experience and that of others tells me a lot of this is true. The experts were saying that the average number of times people were attending church was about twice a month. on average, across the United States, twice a month is the average number for church attendance. Others were saying that somewhere between, and I've heard this for quite a while now, that somewhere between 50 and 80% of students that were active in church in high school were leaving their faith behind when they got to college. That should not be normal. Those things should upset us. These two realities were normal even before 2020, and now experts are saying, a number of different studies I've seen says somewhere around 40% of those who were attending church before the epidemic, before the pandemic began, have not been active with their church in any way this year. They have not come back when the church is reopened, and they have not been engaged in anything online. 40%! A 40% loss in church attendance in a year is not normal. And I think we need to realize something, that we're being afflicted. The church in North America is being afflicted, not by this pandemic, not by politicians who won't let churches meet. We're being affected by our own apathy. We're being crushed, and we're not even putting up a fight. I mentioned earlier how many of our students are dramatically impacted when we begin to challenge them with this idea of what living on mission for Jesus means. That should not be the case. And it's a little wonder to me that over 50% possibly of students walk away from church attendance when they get to college, or 40% of across the board stopped attending church in this past year. It doesn't surprise me. If students have not learned how, or even that they should be living on mission, or that the Great Commission applies to them personally, that sharing the gospel is something that should be a natural part of their identity as a follower of Jesus, then the church has failed to stay on mission itself. If I can challenge you this morning to think about one thing that you can do this year, as an individual, it's to embrace the truth that you are charged with one task. As a follower of Jesus, you have one job, and that is to live out the Great Commission. Your task is to make disciples of Jesus. As a church, will you refuse to accept either that old normal or the new normal? And take stock of the reality that without Jesus, without the light of Jesus shining bright into this world, and that means through you, you as a vessel sharing that treasure with everyone you meet, that there is no hope. I'm done with normal. Normal tries to convince me that I don't have a choice. It attempts to force me to accept what is, rather than realize that I might be down, but I'm never out. I might be perplexed, but I don't have to give in to despair. I might even be persecuted, but I'm never abandoned. I might be afflicted from every side, but I'm never crushed. Instead of normal, I'm clinging to hope. This is the reality. The Christian life isn't supposed to be normal. Look at these last few verses of the passage from this morning, that chapter 4, verse 10 through 12. It says, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifest in our mortal flesh, so that death is at work in us, but life in you. What is he talking about? Carrying the death of Jesus in our bodies so the life of Jesus can be manifested. This is one of those scriptures that non-Christians read and think, this is crazy gibberish. What is going on here? But they miss the point, right? The point is this. The life of a believer is a paradox. We gain life through death. Paul's pointing out his personal reality and that of the believers in Corinth that he was writing to, that death is a part of life. And death for the sake of the gospel is a natural outcome of everything that Paul was doing. Paul wasn't afraid of death. He had no fear of death. He's saying that in his death, by his death, that he would bring light to those who didn't yet believe in Jesus. He was right. We have the hindsight, right? We have the scriptures to back that up. Countless millions of people have heard and received the gospel as a direct result of all the affliction, pain, persecution that the Apostle Paul endured to spread the gospel and to plant churches throughout his known world. It's very safe to say that his death, him giving his life for the sake of the gospel, is why we are believers right here today. The Christian life isn't supposed to be normal. But we're supposed to die to ourselves so that Jesus might live in us. That's not normal. If you do nothing else this year, stop trying to live a normal life. And start living like a clay pot filled with treasure. Something else I've been thinking about in addition to the new normal thing is like, when did we start, we all started living in fear of death. As if there were nothing worse. I could think of worse things than death. Losing our personal freedom, for one. History has shown us repeatedly through the rise of darkness and totalitarian regimes that people will often choose death over the loss of their freedom. They will fight to the death not to give up their freedom. In Christ, we have freedom from the fear of death. But even more than that, we have the light of life living in us. If you look at the verses right before our passage this morning, if you flipped back to verses 5 and 6 of chapter 4, it says this, "For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shone in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." I really like this, the Message paraphrase of 2 Corinthians 4:7. And I think it's a good way to kind of summarize this. If you only look at us, you might well miss the brightness. We carry this precious message around in the unadorned clay pots of our ordinary lives. So let me leave you with my hope for this year. No matter what comes our way, we will never despair or lose hope. But live with the confidence that we have in our salvation through Jesus Christ. Will you commit with me this morning to live your life in 2021 for the glory of Jesus? Will you share the treasure of the gospel with everyone you possibly can as you live your ordinary, anything but normal life for him? Let's pray. Father, as we close out this time together, I pray that your word has done its effective work. God, when your word goes out, it does not return void. And so wherever we find ourselves in this first Sunday of the year, God, I pray that whether we have made a commitment to you to follow you with our whole hearts, or maybe we've been doing that for some time, God, that today, in light of what we've heard, God, that you are at work in our spirit to help us just refocus and to think about the treasure that we've been given. And God, challenge our hearts to help us, Lord, move the gospel forward, to advance the cause of your kingdom right here in this place through our lives, Lord, that you have given us. You're the one who gives us breath. And so, God, we are thankful to you that you are at work in us. God, we just give you this year, and we ask you to do in it powerful and mighty things through us as your willing servants. In Jesus' name.